B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another awesome week of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we talk about Dinosaur Planet. If you haven't heard of that game, you've played it before. It was a Star Fox game. And Robbie Landis joins us on the show to talk a little bit about comic books and the secret link between esports and anime. Should they play into it more? And we closed the show talking today about BlizzCon. I told you don't hold your breath, and I was proven very right once again. That and more on today's Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Monday. I feel extra Monday.
It is today. Today is a double Monday.
It's a double Monday. But you know what? It's a double Monday. But you know what? I'm gonna be honest. I had a really great week. It was a great gaming weekend for me, man. It was first of all, the LCS was super exciting. Dignitas is in second place with a team of no imports, by the way. Callie.
Of course you're going to go and bring that back up.
I'm just saying. Anyway, and then the Capcom Cup obviously was canceled, but they had a great exhibition weekend that had some really high-octane matches. And word out to people like Vicious and Tasty Steve and Rob TV, they did a great job commentating.
Surprisingly good for online FGC.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was great. They did a really great job. And other than that, all my free time was spent playing the Guilty Gear beta. The first day I was unable to get on, but they extended it to Tuesday, played a lot of Guilty Gear. I am better at that game than I remember, because when you first log on, you get placed.
Right.
Between 1 and 10, I got placed to like 6 or 7, and I was like, damn, for real?
Middle of the road, not bad.
I was like, all right, I got a C.
Now, you didn't ignore family or fiance or anything like that at the behest of
it. Right, no, first of all, I already let it be known. That's how my relationship works, all Robbie. Right. I let it be known. I said, listen, this is a beta that I have to play this weekend, okay?
I just don't want you coming out the other side of this feeling guilty.
I appreciate it.
No, but
Robbie's
it's fine. It's
reason.
Fine. You geared up for it, so it's all good.
Oh, my.
I'm here for this.
He's muted. I hate this.
Oh, that was
Why
wrong.
Do we keep asking him back here? Anyway.
You always talk about what you love me being on the show. I had to you know, push back a little bit.
I regret all of it.
That my power is awful.
Anyway. Robbie Landis is here, as always, on Mondays. Callie Scales to my right and Chad Callahan to my left. How'd you guys have your weekends? Did you enjoy them?
Yeah. I feel like I had a pretty busy weekend. You know, we celebrated a friend of mine's birthday and... You know, kept it safe.
Not together.
Well, we kept it safe. I mean, she's one of my bubble.
Ah, got it.
You know, I have your bubble. So we celebrated her birthday and stuff like that. So it was fine. It was fun. We had
awesome.
A good time.
Awesome. Callie.
I had a heavy D&D weekend. I've been doing my first time DMing now in almost 5 years, I think it is.
How's it feel?
The first week was very intimidating, and I felt like it was kind of forced. This week was much smoother, much more, the ad-lib flowed freely.
Good.
I had to scramble to write like 10 extra pages of adventure because they blew through all of my stuff that I had prepared last week.
No,
you and then
see,
they did it again this
now,
week.
What you need to do is you need to embrace the chaos and the improv. You want to know how much I go, like for tonight, right? Tonight's D&D that mm-hmm. by the time people listen to this, well, actually might be going on, but there's a combat that they're in the middle of that I'd prepared last week.
Right.
And then beyond that, nothing.
What happens?
We do it live.
The cruelty you inflict upon them, you make up in real time.
That's just inherent. Yeah. That's just the darkness that resides within.
I was gonna say, but a lot of times, like the characters, sometimes create.
Do they inflict it upon themselves? See, that's the brilliance of my cruelty. Is that yes, it is normally also self-inflicted.
Yeah, my party is definitely. They saw the positive and negative consequences of their actions in week one and week two, for sure. I've taken that from you, if nothing else.
Very good.
A lot of people died.
But with that said, we're here to also talk about some video games. So here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
All right. So a game called Dinosaur Planet has leaked. It was an N64 game. It is now leaked. Fully playable, and weirdly, you may have already played it before, because after the game was canned, they reskinned it and released it eventually on the GameCube under the title of Star Fox Adventures.
The worst Star Fox game ever made. Aww.
We now finally know why that game was so weird and not Star Fox at all.
Listen, here's the thing,
they
man.
Went freaking Doki Doki Panic with it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I really love N64, like the era of N64 games, because I think they're very unique. And when you think about
look at
most
that controller, of course they had to be.
Well, not just that, but when you think about some of the best games on N64, they can't really be replicated for too much else. Not just because of the control scheme, but just even their art style, direction, how they were. I really love that era of games. And then the GameCube came out, and Star Fox Adventures was one of the cornerstone games that they put out for the system. And I just looked at it and I went, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. And I never want to play it.
It's not Star Fox.
It's not Star Fox. I need an on the rails, like, airship.
When do I get to get in the R-Wing? Like, I just want to run around shooting dinosaurs.
I want to get in a spaceship, fly through some rings, and shoot at spaceships.
Poor Star Fox, and even though she's had some games that, you know, people bought and played, Samus, you know, Metroid, is the same thing. It's like they tried to do something different going into the next generation with them, and because it didn't work to the same success as something like Mario, which translates to all generations perfectly.
Well, they just
flounder in mediocrity.
They just won't make a new Metroid game.
You realize there have been like 10 Metroid games in the past like 9 years.
No, for handhelds. Not for the mainline Nintendo console.
I'm aware. I had this exact argument with someone who's like, no, Metroid has been just as successful as Mario. Shut up.
Absolutely
no, it hasn't.
No,
Metroid, shut up.
The last game I remember playing for Metroid was on the Wii.
Right.
That was the last was it Prime?
Yeah.
Was that the one? That was the last time I ever remember actively being advertised to.
Mm-hmm.
And Metroid Prime was great.
It was fun, which I thought was weird because I felt like that did so well, but a lot of people didn't like it. They just never made it again.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants a Metroidvania game to come back. That's the mm-hmm. thing.
I mean, why can't Doom and Metroid be synonymous, kind of? Because like, I feel like Metroid Doom would be great.
I always felt like Metroid, even more than Mario, when you look at the type of games that have first-person shooters, third-person shooters, everywhere.
Yeah, how has Metroid not worked in this era?
How? It makes no sense.
I'm telling you, man, they need to just get Koji Igarashi, who did Bloodstained, to come on board with Nintendo for about 14 months and make a Metroidvania game.
Please, I'd be happy.
That'd be brilliant.
And if you get Koji Igarashi to do it, you can actually call it Metroidvania, probably. we got Robbie joining us. Talk a little bit about the other identity this week. What were you and Ben talking about yesterday?
Yeah, so we actually, you know, we have a bunch of sort of different little sort of benchmark things we do here and there. We have essentials episodes we do sometimes. And every once in a while, we'll also do an episode dedicated to one big crossover event. And so we just recently went back and reread the Sinestro Corps War, which personally I've never read before. And I have to say, first of all, I don't know that I'm, like, the biggest Green Lantern fan. I wouldn't put Green Lantern in, like, my top five, maybe even
top ten heroes. I don't know who would.
But.
Other than Ben.
But what I will say, no, Ben wouldn't even either.
Oh, really? Okay.
But when it comes to, like, creating the mythos and the history and the legend and the lore around superheroes, when it comes to, like, the Green Lantern core and all the other sort of cores, like, the emotional spectrum, that is one of the deepest and most interesting pieces of the comic book universe out there, flat out. And I don't think that Sinestro gets enough credit for being a really great villain.
Yeah. The world building in Green Lantern is always better than the Green Lantern themselves.
Well, it's you know what, to me...
Jessica Cruz came along and that all changed.
She's pretty great.
Is great.
The Green Lantern Corps has always been, like, in a way, kind of like the X-Men of DC to me, where it's like, this is infinitely more interesting than the actual cornerstone heroes.
Than any one person themselves.
Any one person themselves.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that about the Green Lantern Corps. I haven't read Sinestro.
It's only 17 issues. As far as crossovers and like events go, it's a lot smaller. And the plot revolves around the creation of the Sinestro Corps themselves, which then eventually it's like the precursor for Blackest Night, which may be one of the greatest comic book crossovers
ever
of all time.
It's top five.
Easily. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Easily.
Who's the best Green Lantern?
Besides Jessica Cruz?
Yeah.
Look, I have a soft spot for Hal Jordan, right? But I will say, to Ben's credit, I am slowly starting to come around on Guy Gardner.
Oh,
because
come on!
Because what I got, look, there's no one like Guy out there.
No.
Like, there's nobody like him, man.
Do you think maybe there's a reason for that?
There's Cruz, there's Stewart, there's Jordan. Everybody else doesn't matter.
Look, the four sort of core like dudes, right? Hal, Kyle, Stewart, and Gardner, yeah. Especially in Sinestro Corps War, like... The four of them really come together, and they very much have like a, despite being four of them, a three musketeer. Although there were four, even though
there's
three
four musketeers.
Yeah, well, three of them were musketeers. The other one was whatever his face was.
Was a homie.
Yeah, there you go. Was a homie. The three musketeers and the homie. But it's good. So again, 17 issues long. If you're on like DC Universe, they basically curate reading lists. So I would definitely check it out, and of course, you know, check out the other identity as well.
I think what's important is that we all agree that no one likes Kyle Rayner. So,
poor guy.
Yeah.
Wait, was he the one with the girlfriend in the fridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Look, I'm out. I don't. Even
oh, I thought
know.
That was Guy Gardner.
No,
that was Kyle.
That's Kyle.
Damn it, Kyle.
Kyle is the artistic one.
Yeah, okay.
Look, when you're a superhero and that's how they describe you, the artsy one, come on.
All right, that's pretty good.
That seems like something they would say about Wally West, doesn't it?
That's pretty good.
And Wally West is my favorite Flash. All right. So an article came out over the weekend that we thought was kind of interesting, and it was just following up on the success of the Team Liquid Naruto crossover that happened.
Yeah, so Team Liquid and Naruto came together and they did a crossover for some merch.
Oh, yeah.
They created some really cool jackets and some other cool things, which, by the way, TL, the kings of the merch crossover.
Oh, my yes, God. Absolutely. They do like Marvel stuff as well. Oh, yeah. I've seen it really looks great.
The X-Men, the OG X-Men hoodie from Team Liquid is easily one of my favorite pieces of esports merch like to ever exist.
Very cool.
So what the article postulates is that every esports organization needs an Anamu tie-in.
I agree.
And actually, Norris, to that point, I wanted to ask you, like, is anime going to be like the hip-hop of traditional sports?
I think it
where
is.
Where every traditional sports organization has a hip-hop tie-in of some kind?
I think it is, right? Because when we talk about traditional sports and like the you know, globalization of meat sports, that really happened over the 70s and 80s into the 90s. What other thing grew at that time was hip hop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have, especially with football and basketball and a little bit with baseball, this sort of intrinsic link between hip hop and those professional sports. And so I think when you have something like anime, which has been around since forever, but is just now, in my opinion, becoming this huge, within a generation, becoming this huge mainstream thing where you're not a weirdo for being an anime head. Yeah. There's enough anime heads now to where you're not the strange one.
Yeah, there's enough mainstream anime.
Yeah.
Like, as much as people, and I know that one guy really was laying into it. Like, DBZ and Sailor Moon and stuff like that has paved the way for anime to be at least mainstream enough that the average person knows what it is.
Well, without DBZ and Sailor Moon, you don't have My Hero Academia. You don't have Naruto. You don't have the other stuff.
Right. A lot of the modern popular stuff doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
By the way, that article was written by Trent Murray of Esports Observer. I want to make sure I give credit where credit's due.
Absolutely. And you know what? I agree that there should be an anime tie-in 100%. And the reason why I say that is because each anime has a style and attitude. It's a part of anime, right? When you go back and you watch Sailor Moon, there is so much 90s aesthetic that exists within Sailor Moon, to the point where if you're a fan of 90s aesthetic, you are by proxy a fan of Sailor Moon. And so I think, you know, if I'm TSM, right?
Yes.
And my whole brand is built on being like, I don't know, the OG Bad Boys of Esports, along with FaZe Clan, right? Mm-hmm. TSM FaZe Clan, the Bad Boys of Esports, right? If you're going to have
if
them.
If we're
going to
call it that, well, yeah.
If you're going to have them, they're all pasty kids sitting behind keyboards. But, you know, listen, and it's an esports show, y'all. I'm just calling it how I see it.
Hey,
but
it
the point is.
Is,
right, if you're going to have that attitude, go all the way with it. So TSM and FaZe Clan, what animes should those be? What would be the bad boy anime?
Does it have to be one? Because that's the thing. Like,
no, it doesn't. Like, but like, what would be the bad boy anime?
Naruto is such an older. It's like that was when we were in middle school, high school. You know, like
that's when you were in middle school, high school.
Okay, fine. All right. Regardless, it's still like decades old.
Right. I mean, that's what I mean. Like,
no, it's like
a decade
6 years
and a half.
Old. No, Naruto's
Naruto.
Like,
no, yes. It is.
Naruto's like 7 years old.
Naruto was like 2006. Wasn't it?
Anyway,
I'm looking
am I crazy?
Up.
Here's your point, though.
2007.
If
all right, a decade.
If we're talking about like TSM,
yeah,
their legacy.
Yeah,
they've been around forever.
Yeah, yeah. So Gundam.
Gundam. But if you want a bad boy tie into it, like Vampire Hunter D.
All right.
Something
first,
like that.
First anime that I can like remember really sitting down to watch. We had a like a party store gas station that in the back also had movies you could rent, and they had two copies on VHS of the two Vampire Hunter D movies that every
those
time
so
every
so
time we went, I would talk my parents into renting for me.
Hell
again.
Yeah.
If there isn't a tie-in, I don't care what team it is because I'll just join them if they do it. Cowboy Bebop, I'm 100% there.
Nobody's
always.
That cool.
You know what? You're 100% right.
No
esports. No, you know what? No, there's one that would do it really well because they're so hokey and I love them for it. Space Station.
Space Station
Gaming. Because it's Space Cowboy, they do it so well on purpose and I love them for it.
They are knockoff Cowboy Bebop. They are Outlaw Star.
Oh, there you go. You're right. I'll give you
there
that.
There you go.
You get a Gene Star.
I'll give you that.
Who is the coolest esports org? Is it 100 Thieves? Do they get to be Cowboy Bebop?
I would say 100 Thieves because, one, they already do very good merch.
Thieves. Yeah.
Their merch is really great.
All right, they can be Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah. But I don't think that fits the brand. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying is there's enough anime out there to get, somebody
would
to fit the brand.
I feel like Samurai Champloo would fit 100 Thieves.
Perfect. There you go. 100 Thieves is Samurai Champloo. There you go. It's perfect. We have solved branding for esports for the next decade.
As long as it's popular,
anime can solve everything.
So, you know, I think this is a really good thing, but to the article's point is I absolutely think there is a convergence there, and I think this would be really cool because, first of all, merch crossovers are like my favorite thing about esports that traditional sports just happens to really suck at.
Yeah.
I also think there's one avenue and maybe there is and I don't see it. I'm surprised the D&D community, they don't cross into that. Because I do feel like you can make some really cool D&D merch as an esports org.
I feel like
or like
the thing,
tabletop in general.
I feel like the thing with tabletops and D&D is so much of it depends on your play group.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to make
You ever see me come in and try to tell a funny story about what happened to D&D to Callie, who's also super into D&D, and she still has this look of, what is this man talking about?
Yeah, see, that's the problem. Like so much of D&D is built is the setting and the player's characters. It's about your own original characters. And don't get me wrong, there's exceptions. Everybody in the D&D community uses
the same campaign.
Right. That's they know who Strahd is. They know who a couple other characters are. They know who Drizzt is.
Sometimes things so crazy happen that everyone, you know, can't help but find it funny, like Sir Barrington.
And everyone knows the tropes and stuff like that. But like so much of what makes D&D great is the in the moment stuff. Like we had a burger eating contest in this week's session, which isn't funny to anyone else out there. And our table was dying of laughter.
Now, I'll tell you, if there was a team that specifically sort of for the content side of it leaned into that as part of their identity.
Critical role.
That could work. Yes. Right.
Like
that.
Because the people and the personalities are just as known.
Exactly.
As the campaign itself.
We just gave them $1 million idea.
Of course we did.
Yeah,
we do that all the time on this show.
Which, by the way,
besides Team Liquid, if I was esports orgs, I'm going to tell you right now, y'all need to go back and look at the OG of this merch collaboration shit, Street Fighter. Because they did a collaboration with Denmark and Steve Aoki, and all of their stuff on there is flames.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm wearing a unique low Street Fighter tee right now.
True.
So, it's like, dude, if you want to look at how to make some really good crossover merch, whether it be for anime or another game or whatever, Street Fighter's been doing it really great for the past 20 years. So, esports orgs, pay attention. But anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we will talk about the massive vacuum of suck that was BlizzCon or BlizzCon Line 2021. Make sure you guys stay tuned or not, because there was nothing to talk about. Anyway, we'll be right back. One more check.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Point daily.
Working around bugs in Cyberpunk 2077, but your stomach is making you hangry? Cure your craving with Zaxby's. No need to hit pause. Order Zaxby's famous chicken, sandwiches, and salads for pickup and delivery on the Zaxby's app or over at Zaxby's.com. Cruise the streets of Cyberpunk's Night City while it arrives at your doorstep. Just order from Zaxby's indescribably good menu on the app or online and never miss a moment of game time.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another Checkpoint Daily. It's Super Monday, Double Monday, as we have said in part one.
Yep.
Robbie Landis is sticking with us to talk a little bit of BlizzCon. As usual, Chad and Callie are with me as well. And do not forget the other identity. Robbie, when does that come out? Is that already out?
If you're listening to this, then you probably have less than 24 hours. That comes out on Tuesdays.
There you go. So we got to talk about BlizzCon, and you guys know I was very down on BlizzCon Line 2021.
So was Blizzard.
Not just because I knew that there were going to be certain things that were not going to be announced or anything like that, but just because I feel like Blizzard has done such a good job at making people not like them over the past 2.5 years.
Hey, credit where credit is due. At least half of that's on Activision.
Fair enough, but Blizzard ain't doing himself no favors.
No.
And so
I would say that they have done more damage to themselves in a shorter amount of time than any company ever, if not for CD Projekt
Red. You took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. To me, they are Blizzard no more. I'm pretty sure at this point, if not all of the Blizzard old guard
are gone.
Replaced with Activision heads. So
does anyone at this point, do you refuse to call them Blizzard and call them ActiBliz instead? Because I refuse to call them Blizzard.
You know, it's the same way we don't refer to Square as Squaresoft anymore.
I see. You're right. Mm-hmm. We don't call Squaresoft
right.
anymore.
So from here to four is ActiBliz. Anyway, ActiBlizCon mm-hmm. Online happened over the weekend. Friday was the opening ceremony with different sort of streams across the weekend. And I just wanted to briefly go through what was announced or lack thereof.
Yeah, I've got five things that I think matter.
All right, Callie, let's hit it.
All right, first one that probably matters. New trailer for Diablo 4.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. It looks like a really fun game.
Game looks awesome.
Looks great.
Diablo's always great. I'll never disagree. Well, okay, let me argue. Non-mobile.
Sorry. Hold on. Have you played Diablo Immortal?
No, actually, I haven't.
So you don't know.
I won't officially know, but the people that have played it have told me it's not great. But.
Oh, see, when we actually went to BlizzCon
and actually got our hands on
it,
and actually
like
got
it?
To talk to people, I didn't get my hands on it. But the people who did, what was there was fun. The all problem right. people have is that it's not D4.
Right.
And just as we're having this conversation, I want everyone to keep that in mind mm-hmm. here.
That's
right?
Fine.
That Blizzard's biggest problem is one of perception and reality. They're not giving players what they want, which doesn't necessarily mean that what they're giving
is
shit.
Is bad.
Yeah.
So my big problem with D4, because again, the trailer I thought looked great. This is a game I want to play.
Absolutely.
It's just, God, it's still at least another year out.
Yeah, and that's my problem with just about everything announced outside of obviously the stuff that was announced for WoW, is that everything is still so far out. And that's the part that kind of blows my mind because there was a fighting game developer roundtable over the weekend, and they half the panel was about how they still were able to get stuff out over COVID. They literally talked about how, wow, actually we were able to do a lot more than we thought over COVID. We really didn't need to be tied to our offices like that. And they spent 10 minutes of the opening ceremony talking about remote work, only for them to say, all the shit we about to show you ain't none of it coming out no time soon.
Well, here's the issue with ActiBliz is over the past few years, you're right, they've done a lot to tarnish their reputation, whether it was the Blitzchung stuff from Hearthstone or whether before that it was, you know, firing like 33% of their staff and then announcing that they had a record-breaking year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What 2020 should have been for them is the pandemic handed them a soft reset,
yeah.
right?
Reset, yep.
Because we knew that that BlizzCon was going to be the same thing that it was the year before. People were going to bitch they didn't get what they wanted. You had a reason to just stay quiet.
Yes.
And then over 2021, announce the stuff as it came out. You know how wild people would have went if you'd have made the announcement that, hey, guess what? We're working on a Diablo 2 remastered. And guess what? It's out right now on all platforms.
We bring that up all the time.
You are so right. If they had skipped BlizzCon Line, gotten real quiet for a few months, we'd all made fun of them. But eventually,
we were going to make fun of Blizzard regardless.
Right, exactly. But now we get to the end of this year, and they say, okay, guys, Diablo 4, due out summer next year. We're like, oh, my God, 6 months from now. That's amazing. That's awesome.
Right, Diablo 2 Remaster out right now.
Right now.
Oh, my God, I don't even like Diablo, but I'll play it.
Exactly. Oh, and by the way, here's something to hold you over for those six months. D2 Remaster,
you know,
and we lose our minds.
Nintendo does it, like, all the time. And
they bring this up,
and they're so good at it. It's like, how – and we always are so shocked and surprised, and people light up on Twitter – you don't look at that and go, we should do that.
Even taking into consider the last Nintendo Direct, which I don't think any of us saw anything in there that blew our minds.
But the vast majority of that stuff comes out within the next 4 months.
Yes.
And regardless, even on Twitter, the Splatoon stands were out. So, like,
right.
Both of them.
No, well, listen, China is nuts.
Yeah, you're right.
Splatoon. But the whole thing about, you know, the Diablo, and we kind of, you know, went early on that one, but the Diablo 2 Remaster, again, is something that looks awesome and looks great. And now I have to, quote unquote, to quote SE, look forward to it. I don't want to have to look forward to a Diablo 2 remaster.
I don't want
that to be marked on my calendar. No, I want that to be something to drop right now today.
I'm going to say it. Like, I saw that Diablo 2 remaster trailer, and it was like the heavy breathing into the microphone for me. I was like,
okay,
oh my God.
All right. Now, real quick, this is still active Blizz, and you saw what they did with Warcraft 3 Reforged, so temper your expectations.
But that's my point, though, is that if you took the time to say radio silence, we don't want to, you know, get everybody's hopes up. Because when you looked at the chat during everything that they were saying, it was D4. As soon as D4 was done, it was OW2, Overwatch 2. Mm-hmm. When you talking about Overwatch 2, this, that, and the third. And we had a discussion on our group chat about this, about saying how, oh, but Blizzard came out and made a statement on it. They said in their investor call to not expect news about Overwatch 2. That was an investor call.
Right.
If it wasn't for Jeff Keighley, nobody would have known about that.
Yeah.
And so we would have sat for an hour and a half waiting to hear about Overwatch 2 and would have heard nothing.
And even when you take into consideration the stream where they showed us all the behind-the-scenes stuff, all right, that's cool, that's great. We already knew about all of that stuff. They haven't actually given us anything new, and most importantly,
when they expect it.
A release date.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Especially for, D2 Remaster, we get 2021, that's what they say. The reason they shared it now is because they're doing a technical alpha of it, which raised its own questions to me. Why does a remaster get a technical alpha?
Why do you need it?
Because they are releasing two games. You will actually be able to play D2 in its original
state. As it originally was, yes.
And the quote-unquote remake.
Let me tell you something. You don't need a technical alpha for a 20-year-old game.
I was so confused by that. I'm like, what?
You do after the disaster that was Warcraft 3 Reforged. Make sure
all
it
right,
works.
All right.
You know what?
You got me. You
Fair
got
enough.
Me. You got me. Which, by the way, again, and there was a discussion on this about remasters and remakes, and people were poo-pooing the whole concept of it. And I think that's stupid because we're Callie and I are
the
huge
same people, the ones out there playing World of Warcraft vanilla?
Yeah, well, not just that, but the concept that people shouldn't remaster and re-release things. Star Wars was remastered and re-released in 1997. Shut up.
It's nothing new.
It's
that
nothing
said,
new.
It's worse, but anyway.
It is worse, but it was remastered and re-released.
Yes, it was. We did get to hear a little bit about Overwatch 2 in a panel that they did afterwards. I'm going to let you guys talk about it
because I
don't care.
Let me tell you this.
Same.
What they showed and what they've already announced looks, sounds good. We knew that already, though. And that's the problem, is that, you know, they started tooling with talking about, you know, we did get more information about what they're planning for the PvP, which I think is important. We knew all about the single player stuff that they were planning, but we knew nothing about how PvP was going to be different. And what they did say is that, you know, they're looking at role passives and the other few things that may change.
Weather effects?
No, weather effects.
That won't be in PvP.
That won't be in
People
PvP.
Wouldn't stand for it.
Okay, got it.
That will, because you can't make a competitive game that relies
has random
on
things like that.
Random elements. It just would be stupid. But I liked what they showed. The problem is I don't know when it's coming. Not only do I not know, we still haven't necessarily gotten a great answer on how this is all supposed to synergize with people from the old game. We just know your stuff's supposed to come over, but
and
how
people
much
still
of it
playing the old game still aren't getting support either.
That's the biggest thing is, after all of this that they said about Overwatch 2, they could have easily said, okay, guys, we know this is going to be a long wait for people who are still on your regular Overwatch 1. Here is some content that we got for you guys in the meantime. Whether it was PvE content, whether it was a glut of new skins, whether it was a new hero, which it wasn't going to be. But anything. So now you've essentially said this game is what it is right now, today, until maybe late 2022.
For another year.
For another year, with no support beyond balance changes, no new maps, no new game modes, no new nothing.
Did they make it free to play?
No.
Oh my God.
There's no mention.
It's so obscene.
There's no mention about any of that either. And if you think that when Overwatch 2 comes out, that suddenly this toxic behavior that ActiBliz has of not properly updating and supporting their games is suddenly going to magically change.
And I'm going to tell you.
No, that's the next big thing I'm worried about. When Overwatch 2 comes out, people are going to love it. People are going to consume all that content. But then they're going to have to set the expectation of how often does new PvE stuff come? Because you couldn't give us new PvP stuff in Overwatch 1. You think you're going to give us both PvE and PvP stuff in Overwatch 2?
No.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And not only that, they have put so much money and time and effort into Overwatch League, which at its peak is arguably one of the top three esports leagues in the world, and yet, because you can't support the game right now, you have kneecapped your professional scene as well. Because now there's no new champions in the pro scene. There's no new strats. There's no new maps. There's no new nothing. Everything for Season 4 is going to be exactly as it was in Season 3. Hmm. And for esport, nobody wants that.
Hmm. Maybe.
Okay.
We're not going to get content updates, but what we might get, which we got plenty of in Season 3, is random shakeups like, hey, suddenly roll lock is being introduced.
Oh,
or, hey, suddenly we're going to put in random hero lockouts. That's the type of stuff that you can expect for content throughout the next 2 years.
Oh,
is
good.
Then randomly shaking up the game
for no
to
real
see
reason,
if that...
Which, listen, it's not going to fix the viewership numbers.
No.
It's not going to fix the fact that people are leaving the game. It's not going to fix the fact that people are burned out on what's currently there. They're doing everything in their power. And by the way, there were some wild announcements. Burning Crusade Classic is coming.
World of Warcraft is now officially immortal.
I actually have a question for you about this Burning Crusade announcement that got made.
Okay.
So they are doing Burning Crusade Classic.
Yep.
Okay. The whole vanilla thing was people saying that WoW was best at when it was vanilla.
Yep.
We want that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
what about the people who said it was best at Burning Crusade?
Are they taking vanilla and transitioning it into Burning Crusade, or is there now going to be vanilla, Burning Crusade, and current?
Here's the thing. This is why I said that World of Warcraft is now officially immortal.
Yeah. Undead
game. Like it's not going away. It will never die. They are allowing both. They will allow you to take your character progress into Burning Crusade, or
you can stay
if you want to stay in vanilla, you can stay in vanilla. So in another 3 years, you know what
they're
we're going to get?
Do Wrath of the Lich King.
You know what I say? This is the ultimate.
Oh my God.
This is the ultimate in.
This is the capitalist dream,
exactly.
Is what it is, Chad.
It's 100% giving
the
players exactly what they want.
It's a nightmare.
To the extreme.
The players don't know what they want.
Exactly,
Chad.
Though. That's the point, and that's why we got to this point.
This
oh
is ridiculous.
God.
How many times have you heard the players, like, after, you know, Cataclysm ruined the game because they destroyed like,
everything they ever did to the game ruined the game.
Exactly.
Okay.
But now, here's the thing. They can't bitch anymore.
Oh, they
go
will.
Play it.
They,
you know what?
Will.
You wanted to play it?
No,
go
because
play
you know
it.
What? World of Warcraft, blah, 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 blah. I'm having a stroke over here. The vanilla servers ruined the game, Chad.
Oh, well, okay. Here's
no,
the thing,
let me
though.
Tell you. No. Let me tell you
yes,
something.
Yes, it's stupid.
Robbie, Callie, could you imagine reverting back to, I don't know, 2.25 of 14? And somebody saying, like, that was the best the game ever was.
No!
Exactly.
But are there people that probably said that?
Yeah,
listen,
there are.
I'm sure there are people out there who was like, the game was best at A Realm Reborn release. There are people who say 1.0 was better than 2.0.
Those are not real people.
They are real people.
No, they're not. Those are AI. That's AI.
That is proof of the Matrix.
That is AI. But the reason why I say that is because as much as WoW does, as Robbie said, to listen to the player base, albeit a player base that has no clue what the hell
it's
they
just
want,
too big of one, right? Is the problem.
Is I am so happy I'm not part of this community because this is stupid.
The community of WoW is a combination of things. It's the people who've been there since the beginning and have this expectation of what it was, and it's all nostalgia based.
The roles
and then the
glasses.
New people who have this new idea of what MMO should be, and there's
Norris,
no in between.
if you don't think that if the player base for 14 gets big enough that they wouldn't try to do this,
especially now that they see it's working,
if they had the player base to support doing it, they would do
well,
it.
Well, I would say, money, I would man. Say that I would say the thing is the difference is the game world and itself does not change enough to warrant it as it does in WoW. There's massive changes that mm-hmm. have come to WoW.
That's the biggest problem
once.
With doing it in 14 is yeah. really all you'd be saying is like, okay, now you can do less of the story.
That's yeah. it.
That's really all that would change.
That's it. Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I guess you could go back to the different raid eras.
Oof. I mean, technically, because don't they already have a level cap system where you can do that?
Yeah, you could sink. Go back and do yeah. that now.
See, the difference is that World of Warcraft, from expansion to expansion, aren't afraid to fundamentally break down and change what
the
people
game.
Aren't or aren't enjoying.
Or you can make the argument that allowing people to do old content, even if they're new to the game or wherever they are in the game, is a more intuitive system, so you don't have
say,
to blow your
if,
game
if
up
If you're
again.
Into the lore, that strategy... I'm totally here for you can play through those old games and be like, wow, I didn't know that part mm-hmm. because that is one thing I skipped over like a handful, and I actually went back and started playing a little bit of Wrath of the Lich King because I was like, I never actually played that. I skipped over it completely. Mm-hmm. So I went back and played it. I was like, that part I enjoyed. I don't necessarily need the whole vanilla aspect of it, but I do like playing the
either
the
way
game.
At the end of the day, there's somebody who asked for it and they got it, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I just worry because WoW makes so much money. Call of Duty makes so much money, and Overwatch could have made them so much money, but they do everything in their power to refuse to support this game properly. And I'm gonna be honest, I don't feel bad for Activision. I feel bad for Papa Jeff. I feel bad for that development team because they're being told that they can't proceed. They're being told that this is when certain things need to be ready. This is when certain things are going to get money and funding and support. That's the part that I just get really, really upset about. So.
Also, I thought it was interesting that they personally addressed me in their keynote and said, fuck you, Callie. We're not doing any more StarCraft ever. I
Boo!
Thought that was interesting.
And Robbie said it. Universe of StarCraft needs to happen.
Man, I want that
I would
so
die
much.
Happy.
No, but
Callie,
hey,
Callie,
here's Lost Vikings.
Take,
enjoy.
Callie, take solace in the fact
no,
that...
this is what you're going to say to me is going to hurt me.
This originally started as a joke, but you know it's coming.
I do.
Oh, no.
There will be
a StarCraft Battle
property
Royale.
In the future, and it will absolutely be on mobile.
I
remember the Command yeah. and Conquer, the last Command and Conquer game that came out?
No, I'm going to get freaking StarCraft Record Keeper, and I'm going to hang myself.
And play
Record
it.
Keeper.
And play it. You'll play it.
And play it. Yeah, I'm going to collect Kerrigan. Of course I am.
But listen, as we wrap this conversation up, we said originally, don't look for this if you're looking for any news to get excited about. I think Diablo 4 actually over-delivered in terms of, you know, getting people excited for that
yeah,
game. I
game's
think it
awesome.
Looks very
looks cool.
good. It looks cool. I'll probably pick it up, even though I hate that kind of game, just because of how beautiful it looks.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they did nothing to assuage the fears of people who were looking for Overwatch news.
Yep.
I think all of the World of Warcraft news was expected. I think the Hearthstone news was whatever, because card games are stupid, and I don't care.
All right, that just went all our audience there.
I don't care.
There went Volkai.
There went one person. I don't care. But, you know, Hearthstone makes them a ton of money, so they're going to update it. But other than that, guys, and I'm saying this directly to ActiBlizz, you would have been better off keeping the shit to yourself.
I agree.
You'd have been better off, because now all you've done is create more animus for yourself. That is what it is.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have been upset if they said, yeah, we're not doing it this year.
That's what we expected, and then in December, they're like, BlizzCon Line, and we're like, why?
Let me tell you something. If E3 can go away for a year and we can move on,
yeah,
BlizzCon could go away yeah. for a year, but they decided not to. Anyway, with that said, guys, that's going to be it for today's episode of Checkpoint Daily. We will be right back tomorrow with even more Checkpoint Daily. Robbie won't be here, so if you want to check him out, make sure you go and listen to the other Identity for my co-host, Callie Scales, and Chad Callahan. I am your host, Norris Howard. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Have a good one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.